When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast. We're back again. We're a bit late with this Palace reaction pod, and there was a bit of a strange one last night. You guys already got a reaction pod on the podcast, but there was a bit of crosswires there last night, so I do apologize about that. But myself and Paddy are here, and it's always good to to hear what the wonderful Bardell and Dolan have to say anyway, so that is all cool too. But we're back. We're going to chat to you about a game which, I'll be honest with you, I'd say it's up there in my top three most games that made me the most pissed off this year. Crystal Palace, this game that just went, and I don't know why. It's borderline irrational annoyance at this game, but I don't want to rev myself up too early, because that would mean I will talk for 20 straight minutes and not get Paddy to say anything, which, you know, no one's here for that. But Paddy, what did you make of that game? I suppose just a very
well. I nearly fell asleep during the game. So if you were handed off for 20 minutes, I might be likely to fall asleep live on the pod. So that would not be a good look. No,
no, not at all. But no, fuck it. Yeah, it just.
Look, it was just a strange game. Palace picked a team to go out and nullify our midfield, and as a result, it just turned into a very boring, monotonous game. And let's face it, Vieira won the tactical battle early on, and in the first half, I thought they were excellent. They completely closed us off. We had very little to even talk about in the first half. So it was just a strange, strange game. And while I had an awful fear of missing out on that amazing, amazing tribute to the under 20 or the European Cup winning team, I now find myself glad that I didn't go and actually sit through the match. I'd have probably been better leaving after 5 minutes of the game. Look, it's just a strange game. It didn't match what went on before it and the absolutely amazing tribute that went on. And I think we should probably go in chronological order and talk about that first.
Yeah, and from the current player and the current management's point of view, I think they got it absolutely spot on in what they did. You know, the 100% for everybody. Yeah. It just looked classy. It looked reverent. It looked exactly the way it should look. You know, and fair play to Steven Gerrard, and fair play to the club, and fair play to the current team. For doing that, you know, on a day when, you know, there was a lot at stake in that game, and they still took the time out to do this.
Absolutely. And look, you give Gerrard the credit because he said it was on him that he flipped it. He's dead right that our current crop should be forming that guard of honour because, you know, our lads have won nothing. You know, the greats of 1982 shouldn't be clapping them onto the pitch. So, yeah, it was absolutely done perfectly and good show from Gerrard to flip it over and have his lads clap them onto the pitch. And it was just a lovely, lovely moment to see a lot of the old players and some representatives of those players and managers that have passed since. So it was lovely. The whole thing was lovely. I thought the TIFO and the European Cup on the whole day, and I thought it was fantastic.
That was class,
just,
yeah.
It was just really done classy all throughout the day. It was just everything you saw from it was just smiles and happiness. The players, they took the trophy out of the cabinet. They brought it out to the pitch. They took the league winners from the year before. They took that trophy out as well. They took the Super Cup plaque as it was back then. It was just a lovely, lovely moment to see most of the guys back at Villa Park. There was a couple missing of those that are still with us, but it's a pity they missed out on that. But for the likes of Tony Morley and Jimmy Rimmer to miss out, but it was lovely. It was absolutely lovely.
I think the one thing and the one kind of, I suppose, question that's on everybody's lips after that was when they came down to the whole end, who took the penalty? Which one of the players took the penalty? Have you seen that? There's a video going around. They're down by the whole end, and one of the OX players takes a ball off the... And maybe it might have been at halftime. I can't remember when it was, but somebody takes a ball, puts it down on the penalty spot and takes a penalty and runs off celebrating in the middle of it.
Somebody told me earlier on who it was.
I couldn't make it out.
I think it was Gibbo. Yeah.
Whoever it was could still move because when he scored, he took off with a rate of knots and dress shoes and everything. So fair play to him. But no, it was. It's great. It's we're in a very select group. We're in it's one of those wonderful things that you can never take away from Aston Villa Football Club. Just like you can never take away the fact that we set up the Football League. That history goes back that far. We're, as I said, we're one of a select crew that have sat at the top table of European football, you know, with the cup and celebrated a night like that. It's 40 years ago,
and sat there without paying for it. That's what cuts us adrift from everybody else who's doing it now. So, you know, ourselves, Liverpool, Forest, Man United, Celtic, anything after Liverpool in the 80s winning that European Cup was probably bought, you know, even down to Man United hoovering up the talent in 1999. It's just the way it was.
What's the statistic, Paddy, as well? You'll keep me honest in this one. Are we the last English team to win the UEFA, win the European Cup, winning all our game, not losing a game, and having won the league the year before? Something mad. There's some statistic there. Are we the last English team to win to have gone through as champions and to win the European Cup in normal time?
I'm not sure.
There's some mad stat.
Didn't Liverpool win it the following year? So they probably did the same thing, I would imagine.
I think there was something like, I think it went extra time or it went to penalties. There's some mad stat. I can never remember it. I always get it muddled up. Actually, this is where the comments come in handy, isn't it? no one has it inside there.
No one has it
in there yet. Everybody's still watching Keenan Davis sprinting around the field for Forest. We were thinking of postponing this for another half hour so we could watch the playoff game. But I do have it on here to see what's going on too. But I can't remember what that stat is. Please, if anybody's watching, throw the stat in about Villa. There's some mad stat about them being the last team to win it, last English team to win it in normal time after going through as champions or something mad, some mad stat anyway.
That's probably close to the mark because I think Liverpool won in 83 on penalties and Man United won on an injury time of extra time, Solskjaer, wasn't it? in Barcelona. So that's probably closer to the mark.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Just goes to show that we're class. That's really what it goes to show. We are, what's the saying? We are fucking massive. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, whoa, there's ghosts in my studio here. There's things after falling off the wall here behind me, beside me. But getting back to the game and to the and yeah, look, I love the raising of the European Cup motif behind in front of the whole end. I wonder, is that something like we've often spoke about that? We've spoke about Project B6 and some of the stuff that they do there, and we spoke about it when Dino was there, and you know, the whole end has been an inspiration for a lot of continental, well, the old Holt End was an inspiration for a lot of continental terraces and things like that. And you know the way they get very raucous and they get very partisan and so on the continent, I suppose. I like that, the fact that we were raising something there in front of the Holt. I don't know how people sitting in the Holt, whether they'd like more wires and more chains and stuff like that hanging off in front of them, obscuring the view, but... I thought it was pretty cool, and I think it's not something that's really the done thing in English football or British football, but like why shouldn't we be the first to do it? Why shouldn't be somebody to make it a raucous atmosphere and have something like that that we would have before games? It just adds to everything. And look, you talk about the cop. I know Man United try and make the Stretford End an entity in its own, but like you think of the cop, you think of the whole end. There aren't too many more famous stands, specifically supporter fund stands in English football than the two of those, really, you know. So why not make it ours, and why not, you know, do something special there on game day, every game day, should I say. I think it'd be pretty cool.
I suppose the only negative was the banner they put around the side of the pitch actually cut off the first five or six rows from seeing what was going on. So they had this banner. I saw a few photographs from behind it. So I don't know why the banner was raised aloft, because those guys couldn't see the pitch whatsoever. So it probably should have been kept down at ground height. But anyway.
Ronan Ward has got the statistic, or has got a statistic. He said they were the only team to win the European Cup in 1982. Yeah, that might be the statistic I was looking for. But I do think I think this and I'm not going to say more color, like it's I just think that, you know, you can have that intimidation factor. Like, no, I'm not saying that we go out like that crowd from, where was it, Moldova or wherever, to go out and sacrifice a goat in the middle of the field or anything like that. I'm not saying we go completely bonkers altogether, but something before the match that's ours that becomes a small bit of an intimidation factor, or becomes a small bit over time, becomes a traditional factor that lifts the team. I don't know what it is. I'm not the ideas guy. I'm the guy that gives out about stuff. But I'm sure there's something that could be done before games, like, you know, like the Celtic huddle used to be a thing beforehand. It really got the crowd going. You know, you never walk alone. Liverpool sing that beforehand. Apparently, it gets the crowd going. It gets the team going. I don't know. I think there's an opening in the market. There's a niche there somewhere that Villa could do, and I think it could be some pyrotechnics, or I don't know. I've no idea. I should have shut up talking a while ago, because I've no ideas other than words coming out of my mouth here with regards to this. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think the ISPCA will be our site. What's the BSPCA? Is the British Society of Prevention and Cruelty? I don't know what it is. They might be on. And I know you said, Paddy, that we should be reading out all of our... all the things we put up, but just in case...
It's not our opinion, though. We're okay.
It's not our opinion. Exactly. But thinking about, I suppose, going on towards the game then, Paddy. So the team, we did a team sheet tantrum, and we were pretty happy with the team. You know, the team was, as I said at the time, in US sports, they call it chalk. You know, it's exactly what you would have expected. And that's what we got. We had Nakamba in there. We had a back four that we expected to have in there. We had two strikers, Coutinho behind them. You know, I was expecting big things. It just never transpired. It's like if we came out playing with the handbrake on, you know. It just wasn't. It was a laboured, laborious performance, and nobody owned the middle of the field, and Crystal Palace hassled us high up, just pressed us high. And their press was fine. That's all I would say it is. Their press was fine. It wasn't great. They more or less played three at the back. And I just thought that we had no ideas or anything like that until, once again, it was like the Arsenal game. When we played Arsenal, we had no ideas until the last 15, 20 minutes. Yeah, we got a goal, a fortuitous goal, and we'll come to that later on. But look, it's just playing with the handbrake on just really annoys me. It really annoys me when there's nobody can break
line. I didn't see so much as playing with the handbrake on. I think what threw us was Milijevic and Kouyaté in there. I think the two of us spoke about how they'd line up over two podcasts, and we never thought that would have been an option. And to me, it just seemed like they came out to spoil our play and hopefully nick a goal. And they spoiled our play, but we nicked the goal. Unfortunately, they got another one. But it was just, to me, they got their tactics right in the first half to spoil it. They didn't do anything majorly to go and try and win it.
Yeah, they didn't have to do anything. They kind of let us spoil ourselves because Douglas Luiz and John McGinn were sat on top. Like, it's the same issues again. You could put a blanket over Douglas Luiz. Like, except we got Watkins free. And we got we got Coutinho slightly free, but he was almost there. He pushed himself a small bit too wide at times and kind of out of the game. But you could have put a blanket over Luis, John McGinn, and Danny Ings at times, which I thought was really strange. The fact he was getting sucked back so far, and like, there's just something not right there. You know that to me has to be player led. You know, there's no way you want that you want to be crowded. You know, I have no idea what it was. I just found it annoying. There was a bit of a regression towards six games ago when we were getting in each other's way, and I think we played into their hand big style. Nakamba wasn't great in this game either. For about 15 minutes in, I was like, "Oh, I'm not quite sure about Nakamba." He did a couple of good things. Had a couple of tackles, all right, and stuff like that. Like he had. He actually tried to dribble the ball a couple of times as well, which was a scary, scary prospect. he wasn't awful or anything. Like, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think that he wasn't at the pitch of the game, and that kind of summed up where we were going. I think for most of the first half, it wasn't an enjoyable first half to watch. I think is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, it wasn't an enjoyable game to watch. Full stop.
No,
you know, it didn't just stop. Although I thought we were a little bit better at times in the second half, but in general, it was just one of those end of season games where nothing was happening, and they just bossed that midfield and left us nowhere to go. And because they had two wide men, very wide, our fullbacks couldn't bomb on like they had been in the past. I'd say if you look at the heat map, our two fullbacks were probably the lowest that I can remember all season.
Yeah, they weren't, like, Dina certainly wasn't that far forward. Mm. No, Luca Dean has, what was that you read today? He's 7 assists in the league. He's the most assists of any defender this season, which I thought was actually mind-boggling because you would just expect that Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson would just be so far ahead of everybody else.
You would do, yeah.
but Luca Dean has the most assists of any defender, and he got another one at the weekend. And I thought he was good. I thought he was really good. I'm really looking forward to seeing what we can do with him next year. He did a lot better in defense, I think, this week than he has done the weeks previous. Specifically because I don't think Mings had the best game. He didn't have a rick or anything like that, but I just don't think he had the best game positionally. I think he struggled when we struggled, if that makes sense. And his yellow card brings us to what? We're one yellow card away from our worst ever disciplinary performance in the Premier League, which is not up at the Leeds territory. Leeds have 100 cards this season. And we've only got 77, 78. I think 78 equals our worst performance, our worst disciplinary performance. So we might get away with it. You know, might get away with either equaling but not bettering. We can't even foul at an elite level, Paddy. You know, that's why. What's wrong with this team? Can't even foul the best in the Premier League.
Yeah. I'm sure if you go back and count some of them yellow cards, there were token yellow cards dished out for no apparent reason. And especially that Norwich game, didn't he go through a phase of throwing out a load of yellow cards? You're just like, what the hell is going on with this guy?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, but... look, I think it was just such a strange game, as you say, and it, like I don't even think Crystal Palace were that up for it, to be honest with you. Jabbar Zaha, who basically walked around the field thinking that everybody was out to get him. And like, there was a couple of really kind of, oh my God, there were embarrassing moments for him, to be honest with you, you know. And that's kind of the best word I come up with it. Like, his remonstrations and how he gets up in the referee's face. And he mustn't be saying anything bad, like, but it just looks so petty and petulant. For such a fine footballer, he doesn't even need to, because it was him who was trying to instigate all the contact, all the anger. He was trying to make something happen, a flashpoint happen to get himself going. It just never did. And then he ended up with that, you know, being petulant at times. So it's just a shame, because I actually think he's a really good footballer. He's having one of the best seasons he's had in his career this season. I think he's got like 13 goals, which is a good return for him. But, you know, he'll always be remembered for, you know, gesticulating and remonstrating and whatever else. And I think it's a shame, because he's not the most annoying player
in the Premier League.
Yeah, like, he's 29 years of age now, you know, like, there comes a time when you know, you just have to put your head down and stop doing that, really. Like, you know, you got to find your motivations from somewhere. I do know that. But he's their Jack Grealish. He's their Jack Grealish. Grew up just down from the ground. Was a fan all his life, apparently. And fans love him and other fans hate him. I fucked off to Manchester. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that could be it. But if you were to ask me who their best player was over the course of the game, they didn't really have one. Like, but yet they were on top and they were really comfortable. Like, and that's where it comes back to Paddy and the team sheet tantrum when we spoke about it beforehand. They're the sum of their parts. They really are. They're the sum of their parts.
I would argue that their best player was Nathaniel Clyne. I thought he was excellent. It was the best I've seen him play in years. But he just seemed to have a lot of freedom on that side.
I think he had a good 10 minutes and where he got down that side. And then I thought Dina had him terrified every time he went up that wing, though.
Well, I think the two, Dina, I thought was our best player. I thought he was excellent all day.
Yeah.
So there were two good players going at it there, but I would argue that he was their best player, definitely.
Ollie Watkins, for us, I think, put in a really good shift, as did John McGinn. I thought McGinn was good. Like, McGinn had a ton of tackles. I can't remember. I think he's got, he's like 100 successful tackles or something this season, which is like, who would have thought, you know, for a guy who isn't a defensive midfielder, he's getting in those tackles and he's getting success from them. I thought he was pretty okay. I thought he got around the field well. I thought he was our best midfielder on the day. I think when we talk about the regression, Douglas Luiz, for me, didn't butter any parsnips for me in this game. Which is a shame, because I thought he would. I like him, though. I watched for him in the eighth position. And I think what happened is that when we were being overrun a small bit, because they were playing three at the back, he was very wide at times, the cover for our fullbacks. And, I think he was kind of caught between two stools there again, not wanting to be a six, but having to play very, very wide as an eight. And I think if Douglas Luiz had a bit more pace, I think he would have the makings of being an outstanding midfielder. But that's probably a conversation for another day. Buendia came on. Thought he did pretty well.
Yeah.
A lot of people like Buendia.
I always think it's funny. Buendia started the other night and then the crowd starts singing Coutinho song all the way through. And then Coutinho starts and they start singing the Buendia song. I don't think they know exactly what they want to be playing in the 10. But we had the unusual situation where they were both playing together, which was, it didn't get much change. Yeah, but it was unusual. I thought Ings put in a shift as well. I know he wasn't exactly finishing well, but...
Yeah, it annoyed me.
Yeah, one in particular annoyed me. I thought he should have done a whole lot better with it. But look, I still think he works very hard. I still think he really, really wants it and he's up for it. But I don't know whether it's going to take a good pre-season and a run in the team for the goals to come there, or else we're just going to bring in a striker. So, but I think you can tell from the Ollie Watkins,
we're definitely bringing in a striker this summer.
Yes, we know that.
and lads, I definitely think we're going to see Luis Suarez in Claret and Blue. What do you got? That's not, look, there'll be a whole podcast about the yeses and the noes on that one. Yeah. All right. But I just think that we'll see an experienced striker come in here. And if it happens.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, we'll worry about it then, which yeah. More than likely will happen. But anyway, we'll talk about it again. But the one thing we did get out of this is that Ollie Watkins thinks he's not going anywhere. Judging by his celebration of the goal. So we'll just have to wait and see.
I thought Watkins was brilliant. I thought he was really good. I thought he did a lot of work playing against the front three. And look, we're not talking about a front three that are exactly going to take it handy on him. Like, they're all big, hulking, brutish men back there. You know, Kouate was in there, Anderson, Gray. I thought Watkins did well. I thought he tried to run in between, tried to find gaps in between them. He took them on in the air, which he was heavy, heavy second favourite to every one of them. One of those balls, I thought he did okay with those. And, I'm probably just going to say it was a definite foul, I think, for the goal. I don't know how we got away with it, to be honest with you. But I think it's probably one of those ones that you could have given it both ways because Gray had no eyes in the ball either. You know, there was a one of them, two of them wrestling match. And then Watkins was just like, it just hit off. I'm still not even convinced that it hit off Watkins to go in, but goal was given to him. And my fantasy football team lives to fight another day. So I like that. But we don't have a ton of energy for this one because there was no real spark in it at any stage. Chris Kavanagh didn't have to do much. No one had to do much. You know, I thought we actually spoke about the game, about distribution from our backline, and our distribution was putrid, absolutely putrid at times. It was just route one. And we're lumping it up to Kouate, Anderson and Gray. You know, it's like, that's something I really want to see different against. I don't even want to wait till next season. I want to see a difference in that against Burnley. On Thursday night, because it's something that we mentioned in the Team Sheet Tantrum. It's something that somebody mentioned who was in the comments, mentioned it to us in the Team Sheet Tantrum too. So it's something that I want to, I would hope that Steven Gerrard is looking at. And if it means going wide earlier, then I'll sacrifice that. But, you can't be just dumping the ball up. Oh, look, Tarkowski and Ben Mee and whoever else might be out for Burnley, I still don't want to go along because it's not our strikers strong suit, and we're bypassing Philippe Coutinho. You know, we talk about Philippe Coutinho being quiet. Maybe it's because we're not getting him the ball and we're not featuring him as much as possible. Feature him against Burnley at home. Feature him against Man City. See if Man City still have those defensive issues and Rodri has to still play at centre half. Like, Nathan Ake is still injured. Went off with it. Ruben Diaz is going to be out. There was somebody else who's out. John Stones might be out too. You know, so they're potentially could be have a makeshift back four. Get Coutinho at that back four and stop going, trying to go over them, because we don't have a giant striker. And it's just, that's what I think. Another thing I found annoying about this game too, you know.
Revert to type.
I think it was the two, as I mentioned, those two brutes of central midfielders, defensive midfielders that they put in there to stop Coutinho was the reason we went long every time. They pressed us high that we couldn't pass the ball around like we normally do. So what can you do? Only try and work on it. I thought it was going to change at halftime. I thought it was going to be some kind of personnel change, but it just didn't come.
Yeah, and it just didn't, you know. And we did. We brought on Jacob Ramsey. Callum Chambers got a run out in defensive midfielder position, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, he did. He came on for Nakamba. And then Buendia came on for Douglas Luiz, wasn't it? And
Chambers came on for Ezri Konsa.
Chambers came on for Konsa. Yes, sorry, you're right. And that doesn't look good. That was actually a talking point. It looked innocuous enough on the field. It was only when Gerrard said afterwards that he's not that he's worried about Ezri Konsa, about what might come back. We haven't heard anything about it yet.
You just never know. One of those, it's just the foot is, the studs are locked, and there's nowhere to go, and someone falls on you. Like there was nothing malicious in it. It was nothing, no badness. He just literally fell on a leg that was planted, and there's a myriad of things that can go wrong there, unfortunately. So hopefully we wish him a speedy recovery, because we don't want to go into a situation where we've a centre half out for 6 months, the first 6 months of the season. So we want it to be, you know.
Even though I do think we will shore.
We probably will. But if he ever had any intention of selling him, he's not going to sell him with an injury.
Yeah. Like I'd say, when we're looking at purchasing players, I'd say we'd be talking two defensive players, two midfield players, one striker. I'd say at a minimum, that's what I'd say we'd be looking at. And that still gives us opportunities to bring true players through the academy. But look, when we look at it, the gap, the one area that we do have gaps in our succession planning, I suppose, really, is centre half. We don't have any 19, 20-year-old centre half that they're really looking to. Although Lamar Bogard was with the team at the weekend. He was with the team. He was there for match day. He is back. He is fit. I don't know whether they, like, he's not exactly a joint. I don't know whether they see him as a centre half at this level or whether they see him as maybe a midfielder, maybe even a right back, who knows. But he does play centre half for the underage teams. I'd imagine we'll see Josh. We'll know on Thursday night. If Lamar Bogard is there, that's what they think of him. Maybe it's centre half. I'd imagine it'll be Josh Feeney again. He's been featured twice on the bench so far this season. And we just are looking out to have to play Josh Feeney, 16, 17-year-old against Man City last day of the season, when we're looking to curtail their cup celebrations. But look, baptism of fire. We had to throw Gareth Barry in. I know it was opening day of the season against Sheffield Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, but we had to fire him in at 17. And he didn't turn out too bad, did he? Didn't turn out too bad at all.
Absolutely.
I think
Chambers will just slot in there. I think it's just if there's an injury.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking about the bench, and if there is another injury, you know, it really becomes squeaky bum time then again. I think best thing, it would have been great to win this game. I really thought we won this game. I think I'm so pissed off about it more so because I had my expectation level for how the team were going to perform just wasn't, it didn't come anywhere close. Like, I'd give the team a D on their performance if I was grading it as if it was like in the season paper. This one was like, it was a D performance for me. So much more they could have done. I thought at times that they phoned it in, they reverted to type, they crowded places, they just lumped it forward. They couldn't get anything going for a lot of periods of the match. Yeah, we had one or two chances, but our chance creation was poor. Our finishing was poor from Ings. We got lucky with a goal from Watkins. And to be honest with you, the goal we conceded as well was sloppy. You know, you have to be defending stuff like that too.
Yeah,
so it was like none of it is to write home about, to be honest with you. It was very much two mid-table teams, but Steven Gerrard said he didn't want to let these crowd as dead rubbers, and he wanted to go for something. And most likely now we'd be looking at not finishing in the top half. We have a chance, but like, I suppose in realistic terms now we would be looking to finish 11th.
Neil, I have some bad news.
Oh no, don't tell me.
Conor Hourihan just had a penalty saved.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he scored the winning penalty for Sheffield United to knock out Forrest. I want Forrest to go through.
So do I.
I like Connor. I'd love to have him on the podcast. If anyone knows Connor Horan and can finagle him onto the only Irish Aston Villa podcast, I think. I don't know. Is there any other? Oh, no, there are. The two boys. The Villa podcast. The two boys are there as well. Two boys from Derry. But we want Connor first. I'm closer. Absolutely. I'm from Limerick. It's closer to Cork than Derry is. So that's why we want him first. I played soccer against Bandon before. And I played. So that's my in there. We're rambling now, Paddy.
As
I said, there isn't really much to go through. And to be honest with you, half the reason that we're rambling is because I'm watching, I was watching the penalties there until my stream froze after the second penalty. So I don't know what's going on. But
it's 2-0 to Notts Forest after two penalties. So
looking good for Steve Cooper. What a manager.
I'd love to see Forest back in the Premier League, to be honest. You know, for a club of that size and history, you know, I always have a soft spot for
just two guys I know that are Forest fans, and I can guarantee you the tears that would be cried if they got promoted again. I mean, the two of them would be blabbering messes if they were to get promoted. Well, that and the fact that they'd probably drink half a Limerick dry. But that's a story for another day. But look, lads, we're as I say, we're rambling here. Wasn't the best result. Low energy game. Hopefully we pick it up against Burnley. I want us to go and beat Burnley. I want us to get 3 points. I want us to climb the table. I want us to finish in a higher position than we did last season. I want us to finish out the league as best we can. I want us to go with good form, good game plan to Man City, and to take it to them on the last day of the season and protect the integrity of the league. Liverpool did their bit beating Southampton tonight, and hopefully we're going to do our bit and protect the integrity of the relegation battle by going out and putting up a good performance against Burnley. Hopefully beating Burnley, getting our 3 points, and you know, let them worry about their situation and we'll worry about ours. Then on to Man City, and once again beat them and let them worry about their situation and we'll worry about ours. If we've played 3 goalies against Man City, I'm okay with that, as long as we were to come away with a nil all draw or a good result. That's kind of what I'm looking for there. But
it means we've got a vested interest at both ends of the table in the two games that we've left to play. So there's going to be, obviously they've switched the game on Thursday to be live on Sky, so that's going to be, you know, watched all around the world, because Burnley are in the mire as well, and they could do with the 3 points. So it's all to play for, and you know, we're going to have a big say on Sunday against Man City.
Really, both sides of the table. Yeah, we have a big say between now and
hopefully we won't do our usual rollover and get our belly tickled. And I'd love to see us stopping them winning it this year. I really would, just because of what they did on us last year, and you know, stockpiling players and pissing everybody off. So, as I said, at least it's something to play for.
Never mind the Rodri goal, you know, the goal that should never have been early in the season. Yeah, we don't forget. One good thing about Villa fans is we don't forget. So it's all coming down hopefully to Sunday, but we need to put in a good performance on Thursday. With that, we will be back tomorrow with a preview show for the Burnley game. Hopefully we'll have the press conference. Press conference will be, I think it's tomorrow, and we'll have that. We'll be able to go through that and the presser pickups and do the preview all together. We'll be back there with a team sheet tantrum with the Villa View in association with Boohoo Man on Thursday before the game, 6:50. Then we will, on Friday, we will be doing a post-match show. Saturday, we'll be doing a preview show for the Man City game. Sunday, we'll be doing a team sheet tantrum for the Man City game. We'll probably do a reaction pod. And then both of us, myself and Paddy, will have to get probably a joint lot on some sort of solicitor to represent us in the attempted murder cases that both of our partners are going to have to bring against both our partners, because they are going to murder us. Because we're going to be going 6 or 7 days in a row. But look, let us deal with that. And if we do need to set up a GoFundMe for our legal battles, you guys might sort us out for that. That would be fantastic. But Forrest, true. to the East Midlands, massive. Our,
Kieran is obviously a few seconds ahead of me because they've just blazed over the bar here with their fourth penalty. So I'm guessing, Chef, you are going to miss this one as well.
Did Keenan take a penalty?
Keenan didn't get to take one, no.
I'm sure he was number five. Solid as houses. No bother there. He's definitely going to win it. Win it from.
Well, he's anyway, going to Wembley anyway.
He's going to Wembley again. Yeah, sure. All he knows is Wembley from Aston Villa Football Club. That's all he knows is Wembley up until a couple of years ago. But yeah, lads, we're going to leave it at that. As I say, we have a packed schedule. We'll probably be back every night between now and Sunday.
Except Saturday, maybe.
Well, we might sub people in and out there for a couple of nights to see what's going on, see if we can get away with murder. But we will be back anyway tomorrow night with a preview show for the Burnley game. Either way, we'll be back with Team Sheet Tantrum for the Burnley game then as well, and we'll take it from there. So keep the eyes and ears peeled. You'll be sick of us by the end of the week. But then you'll have a big barren spell without us doing any Team Sheet Tantrums. So, you know, don't knock it while you have it. Right, everybody, have a great night. It is 10:30. Thanks a million for joining. As always, if you give this a thumbs up, I really appreciate it. And thanks for everything you do for the podcast. Also, I keep on saying it, but if you guys haven't subscribed to the audio podcast, I really appreciate it. It's going to be a big feature of hopefully of what something we're going to do throughout the off season there, instead of always coming live on YouTube. We will have one or two pieces in audio pieces, should I say. So I really appreciate that. But until tomorrow, guys, I'm going to let you get off to bed. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.